My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The win of the season. The biggest win of the year for your Cleveland Guardians.
Needed it. Needed it in a big
way.
What a
win. What a win. Daniel Schneeman played it like it was his last game he's going to play in baseball.
How many diving attempts?
What was he doing in center field anyway?
He was all over the place.
I saw that diving catch, and I had people going, what the hell is he doing back there anyway? And then eighth inning comes around. He saves it mm-hmm. in the seventh. Eighth inning comes around. First off, I mean, you go to those three innings. 6, 7, 8, where you have two on, you get a double play to end that inning, end that threat. You get one on in the bottom, you can't do anything with it. Seventh inning, Schneeman goes out and makes that leaping catch. Then in the eighth, I mean, he crashes into the wall. He's like 4 inches off. Like, that was a hell of a jump for him. I'm like, well, if he had that much more experience in center field, maybe he would have been able to catch it. It would have been another.
I was thinking, how far would I have been off? 3 feet? Three yards?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. For any regular person, like, how does he not make that play? It's man, I wouldn't even have been on the wall. I wouldn't even have been there. I'd be like, it's gone. Don't worry about it.
I never spotted the ball in the middle of the night.
It's
nothing.
Amazing. And that relay home.
It was incredible.
To get Trent Grisham, I don't know why he slowed down. His mustache is fabulous. I'll give him that credit. I still don't know why that guy slowed down. What a relay.
It's seldom we always talk about home runs. We talk about so many other moments like that, a leaping catch in the air to rob somebody of a home run. A relay is pretty damn entertaining, and when you successfully pull it off, and the throw can be wayward, whatever, the catcher making the diving, whatever it is.
It was first base side.
Yes, it's wrong side.
That pull from the first base box all the way over to the third base side, to the right-hand box, or left-hand box to the right-hand box. It was like the last minute of Chariots of Fire. I mean, it took forever, it seemed, because I'm waiting for this guy to come home, and I'm like, oh, God, what are we going to do here? And for that to happen, it was perfect.
It's a fist pump moment, is it not?
Yes.
In baseball,
it's amazing.
You feel like sometimes baseball doesn't supply those moments, and then you see a wild game like that, and that's all it was.
It was
a bunch of those moments.
It was great. I think top of the first, I think people were talking about fiasco and everything, or bottom of the first, I should say, with what happened.
They got down again.
Well, you're giving up back-to-backs and bellies-to-bellies, in the words of the great John Sterling. Say whatever you want. I like John Sterling. I don't care what
anybody
says.
Every ball was getting lifted.
He's not Tom Hamilton, but I still like
lifted deep, and you're like, is this just going to be batting practice all night, especially in that venue?
It was a playoff atmosphere. They made people boo at the end of the day.
That's what you love to hear.
Which was exactly what you want. You have two teams now. You get the Guardians, who are 73-52. The Yankees are now 73-53. It was a beautiful moment for everybody involved. And it's made even more beautiful that Lane Thomas, who was starting to go down as the worst trade that the Guardians could have made in recent history, because he was six for about 5,800, comes through with the hit in the 12th inning. He's able to score. And then there was some confusion in the post game. So Matt Boyd is, the game lasted forever, but Matt Boyd is talking to reporters later on. He went 5 1/3, gave up 3 runs, 3 earned, struck out a couple. Did the best he could. What are you going to do? Everybody used up their entire bullpen, so at least it's bullpen on bullpen, right? So the post game, do we know the name of this guy? Do we know the name yet? Or is this
Matt Boyd.
No. Well, that there's going to be a reason why you just said that. Do we know the name of the reporter?
I do not know the
reporter. Do we really want to put them on notice?
Call him Reporter X.
Yeah, Reporter X is talking to Matt Boyd. And there is a point of confusion here. Turn this up and take it away.
What are the emotions like when you get that hit, especially considering how the first couple weeks have gone for you in Cleveland?
Oh, sorry. I'm Matt Boyd.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not Lane Thomas. All good, though. No worries. All good. We look alike. He's a good-looking guy.
Well played. Well played. He could have been so much of a bigger D there.
Did you hear the laugh in the background? Yes. Where he goes, ha! It's like they got him.
I'm trying to think what percentage of baseball players would have played it off the way he did it. Because I've been in those. Yeah. And here's the thing. There's no doubt. Now, this is in New York, so there's going to be there's going to be a bigger
prostate
presence in that case. Got to get that checked. So I've been in baseball locker rooms as somebody who is late to the party. Hey, wait, you're not here very often. It happened during the Indians runs in 2016, 2017. All of a sudden, I'm thrust into it because I was doing stuff for 19. And you could tell, they're like, where have you guys been all year? And there's all these more reporters or whatever. And at times, you could tell, they're like, hey, I'll be cool with Zach Meisel. I'll be cool with everybody else. Ossenheimer.
Yep.
And we've seen those guys. Shadell even. They'll be nice to Shadell. But then they see somebody they don't know, and they are very irritated, and they'll be like two-faced on it. He right there had a chance to blow up if he wanted to, and there would have been a lot of guys that would have.
He's very nice about it, so at least that was nice. But here is the actual Lane Thomas on being able to get that hit and finally come through for the Guardians.
It's good. I think especially in that situation made it a little bit better too. So I was just happy to, you know, take a good at bat after, you know, I felt like it was a pretty good game. I was hanging in there so long and, you know, coming through late like that.
This is where you have a point. This is where you've had a point this entire time. It is very, very hard to live on every game and then have this game happen. And it was an exhausting experience. I can't look at social media during baseball games anymore because the overreaction to the overreaction to the overreaction to the overreaction makes it terrible. It's what makes it difficult, though, because you live on every game. And I did. There was a point, and I'm going to celebrate this at least through the first half of the show, and then eventually we're going to have to look forward here because you have Joey Cantillo who's going to be getting the start tonight. But again, their bullpen is ripped up as well. So, you know, I still think it's odds on wherever we go on this. But man, it's hard to live on every single one and then go, all right, and then they got another game tomorrow. Because it felt like a postseason series, and it feels like we're up 1-0 in a do-or-die series.
And it's, I asked you before the show, I'm like, well, Class A, he went 2 innings, but 20 pitches. He's had more than 20 pitches before. He's had some 25 pitches.
He hasn't gone two innings since, what, the Yankees 2 years ago? Last year?
Well, are we about to go
2 years ago?
Andrew Miller on this?
No.
Hey, you want a real Cy Young? You want some real Cy Young love? Like, all right, let's ratchet it up a little bit. One inning's not going to be enough.
Big Apple?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was it was an incredible experience. I think for anybody who stayed up and watched it, again, 12 innings, you get to that top of the 12th, and you had the whole package. You come from behind, Boyd ends up pitching with a lead. You have great defense in what ends up being the middle of the late innings. You have these moments of tension, and then in the 12th inning, you open this thing up. And then still even, I mean, you have a 6-run 12th and you feel that that's going to go put it away. Remember, Barlow had given up a double And what, Aaron Judge had how many doubles now? What's this double in his season? A billion. He's a good hitter. I got to give him credit where credit's due. Barlow had given it up. And so you're giving up two runs. You're like, there's no way this is going to get squirrely. But they end up finishing it off. It was a fantastic win. It was the win of the season for the Guardians.
Kenny,
win of the season for this baseball team.
When you were watching games in New York, and you know, obviously I don't watch as many as I used to. When I was younger, you know, they'd be playing the Red Sox, and you'd have them on national television and everything. So I try to stay away from the Yankees if I don't have to watch them, because it just frustrates me. It's got to be the one place where you make their stadium a character,
yeah,
and an evil villain, because
yes,
you're watching that stadium and you're seeing these pop-ups in the short porch become home runs, and you just end up detesting their way of life and their way of playing baseball.
You and I have made fun of this before, because this is what makes playing the Yankees special, at least in New York in that moment, is that everybody takes them as a rival. Like, you and I have kind of like side-eyed, and we know Yankees fans not named Mitch. We know Yankees fans from New York, and we've asked them before, like, are we rivals? And they're our age, and they're like, no. They're like, hey man, nothing personal. It's just like, it's a Red Sox thing. We don't really consider the Guardians rivals. No, but there is an older generation when you played them so often, and they were the way that the divisions were split, and the league and the National League were split, where, yeah, you would play them so much more that you would consider them rivals. And, of course, Major League plays into that as well. And then in our generation, it's like, well, you only see them. I mean, how many times have they just done a series and series and that's it? It's been a long time now that you've only welcomed the Yankees into town one time a year. You've only been out there one time a year.
Yeah, so we left the East in 94.
Yes, but when you're out there, and this is exactly the point of what you've always made, when you're out there, it's like, all right, you're in their area. They do take it very seriously. They got the bleacher creatures there. The Miles Straw scenario that played out a couple of years, like, part of this is it all rolls
They've
into
been
one.
Earlier in the season as
yes.
well when we go
Yes,
there.
Yes. Oh,
so
that's great. That's a great point. Yes, it's always been like April when you've gone there. Now it's we're getting closer to September, and these are two teams that could very well be on a collision course here. And I got one team where you've had Brian Cashman since we were all in high school. That's how long they've had that guy as a general manager. They've still been a team that's able to spend like crazy. It really is. It feels like a David versus Goliath thing. So if the Pirates were in Pittsburgh or were in New York, it might feel that way. But since there is that old American League standard for the old folks, and then you have our generation and then the young folks who get to see it who might like baseball, it all comes together. It was fantastic. It was perfect. You love it.
And the bottom of the order.
You love it.
The bottom of the order, when you think about what Schneeman, Bo Naylor, Thomas, Rocchio, where has that been forever? Yeah. I mean, they were picking up for, I know Kwan walked three
yes.
times, but you know, Kwan went hitless. Ramirez, 1-for-6, had a clutch moment that he couldn't come through. Naylor, Josh has been just flailing away. It continues to descend into madness
for
him.
He's just sitting on... He's trying to hit home runs basically every time up to get himself out of whatever funk he is in.
I know, but how big is that? You get down early, and you end up in a game, a wild game, longest game of the year. You end up with, what was it, 16 total pitchers. You went through every Yankee reliever, and yet it's the bottom of the order that carries the day for you. Finally.
I got to find a stat about the stranded base runners. Here is Stephen Vogt again about what he thought of the victory overall.
What an unbelievable game by both teams. One team had to outlast the other, and fortunately it was us. It was a fun game. Those kind of games, that you log so many good experiences through them that are going to help you down the road.
I mean, they approached it as a postseason game. It felt like a postseason game for everybody involved. It was one of the better outings I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
At least in recent history.
We stranded 20.
I found this. Twitter reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. This is our buddy Zach Meisel after the game. In the 124 years of the franchise, Cleveland has had only 10 games in which they have stranded more than the 18 runners they left on base tonight. Only 3 of those 10 have taken place in the last 55 years. Then he amends it. Only 4 times have they ever stranded more than the 20 they stranded tonight. And 3 of those took place before or during the Great Depression, and yet the Guardians have reclaimed the best record in the American League by percentage over Baltimore and New York. So it was almost like the penalties and the go-home opener and the season opener in 2019 where we lost track how many penalties the Browns had. Zach, actually, who's as accurate as it could get, lost track of how many base runners they stranded tonight, and they still got the win, and they still won by multiple runs. And baseball, I got to tell you, the ghost runner, I was critical of the ghost runner. It's still fantastic. When you come out on top, you're still fantastic. I love it. I love everything about it. It's a great day. It's a great morning. Everybody should be excited. You're back on top. I know we got one tonight. We'll talk about that later on. But you're back on top. Guardians fans should be feeling good this morning. And if you missed the end of the 12th, hopefully you were able to DVR it or something because it was a work of art.
Could it be a season-saving win? Is that a little over the top, Ken Carmen, after a 9-5 come-from-behind victory in the Bronx?
I know you kind of put me on the spot there. I kind of want to save it for 7 o'clock.
All right. Well, they found themselves in quite the predicament. They needed to rely on their bullpen yet again.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. I'll explain more at 7. Go ahead.
And if you stayed up for that 12th inning, the longest baseball game of the year, even after the Guardians offense in an extreme funk, 20 left on base in this game, Class A having to go 2 full innings in relief, Andrew Miller mode. It was something to see anytime you go in there and win, especially opener of a series, especially after you get swept by Milwaukee. You're trying to keep pace with the Twins and the Royals in the division. Twins blew their lead yesterday against the Padres.
Yes, they did.
And so you're even gaining after the victory.
Yes, you are.
And it was awesome in the 12th because you poured it on. You scored 6 runs. Not only that, after Fry had tripled them all in to expand the lead to 5, then you had a big Christmas up in the 12th. Just listen to the reaction after this highlight courtesy of Bally's.
John Kenzie going to get another run home. And he's going to get a base hit because nobody can get to the bag. Wow, and now the Boo Birds rain down on the Yankees.
He's really enjoying that.
I mean, I think that sentiment is echoed by all Guardians fans when you hear that.
Yeah, they deserve those boos. That was bad baseball right there.
What was great, we don't have it. They catch a pop-up after that, and you actually got the first time I think I've ever actually heard a Bronx cheer.
Really?
You got a nice little...
Those are fun.
Yes.
Good.
Sarcastic cheer from the crowd.
Well, we were going into the game last night.
I've never heard a Bronx cheer. You're right. Go ahead there.
Ever? Like,
no.
There in the Bronx?
Not in the Bronx. In the Bronx.
I've
Bronx
heard,
cheer,
yes, yeah. I've heard the quote-unquote Bronx
but
cheer at ballparks,
there.
But no, I don't think I've ever heard it in the Bronx.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Or as Mitch's sweatshirt calls it, a New York cheer.
Yeah.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Is he wearing it today?
No, but I'm wearing a Cleveland cap.
Anyway, here is David Fry.
Everything about you annoys me today.
He was asked the question that we asked yesterday, whether it would be a playoff game. Well, did it feel like one?
Yeah, I think so, especially against a team like that. And just shows what kind of team we have. I think we played our guards ball, had some chaos going, and got the excitement in the dugout going. It was a lot of fun.
It was
What's
total,
the music in the background?
Total chaos.
That was good stuff. That's good stuff. That's good after a big win music right there at the bottom of the 12th.
Well, yeah.
Top of the 12th.
It would have been heartbreaking.
Good stuff.
I mean, whichever team was going to lose that game. I mean, think about the Yankees. The Yankees end up burning through their entire bullpen. They had eight relievers in that game. And I said earlier, 16 total pitchers between the two teams, 4 hours and was it 2 minutes? Longest game of the year, which I just expected. It's been a long time. I've expected every Yankee game to go at least 3.5 for the longest time ever. And the Guardians have played how many games under 2 hours this year?
Played a couple.
So to have one, they just had one recently. So to have one go as long as it did and to be a victory. So, you know, we're kind of having this discussion, like, how big are these games in reality? Like, yeah, I mean, if they lost yesterday, well, yeah, is the season over?
In the grand scheme of things, they're all worth one. Yeah, but I think there's a feeling to a lot of fans. You would have lost four in a row.
Well, do you think
you spent your entire bullpen? If you're going to spend your entire bullpen, you better win the game.
Because that's
the way Yankees fans are feeling. It's like, man, we taxed the entire bullpen and we lost the game. Now, if you're a Yankee fan, and this is one way to remain reserved as a Guardians fan, we have Joey Cantillo going tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's taking on Nestor Cortes, if I'm not mistaken. So that's one thing you would probably be like, all right, well, we can get him back tomorrow. That's the only thing you'd be reserved about. But yeah, if you're a Yankee fan waking up, it's like, man, you did all that and you burned out your bullpen and then we lost.
And it just feels like that you could get in there, especially after the way we've been slumping, and to take that opening game. You wonder about confidence. Like, obviously, you could just tell by the fans, our own fans, watching this game in real time, panicking about the bad at-bats, panicking about not being able to get one across the plate. Is this just going to be the same old? Are we going to revert back to a team where we're all regressing? We didn't make the necessary moves at the deadline. You could see it starting to go down that path, and then magic hits you in the 12th.
Yes.
And so you wonder the team. Like, I know the fans always have a fragile psyche on these things, especially this team and its fans. What about the actual team? What about the actual players? Like, how badly did they really need that?
The way they played, I mean, they played like this was an elimination game in a lot of senses. Again, Daniel Schneeman laying out. What a fan. It was a web gem on a show that we used to watch late at night that
always.
You can't watch anymore. I guess you can,
like,
but it's
that?
On a channel I can't find, so what the hell.
Meanwhile, and we'll get back to some more baseball a little bit later on, we got some news yesterday you're going to hear about in about 12 minutes, next segment, regarding Deshaun Watson.
Good tease, good timing. Way to move him forward.
Whether or not he is going to actually play, whether or not Kevin Stefanski is going to reverse course, how much of it has to do with that left tackle situation? Well, Stefanski talked about Mr. Jermaine Afidi, Kenny, your favorite, right there on the offensive line. Is that close?
You were close.
Okay. Afidi?
There you go.
Afidi?
There you go. You got it.
Should he be a household name?
No.
Well,
we're hoping not.
How it goes
right?
in Seattle? Come on.
We're hoping that's
I mean, you
not
might have
case.
To. Yeah, you might have to.
But here is Stefanski on him yesterday after practice taking snaps.
He does a nice job. He's really done a nice job since the moment he stepped foot on campus here, getting to understand our scheme, obviously familiarity with what we're doing, playing both right and left. Tough guy, plays hard, like a lot of things about him.
What round was Jermaine Ifedi taken in?
Sixth.
First. I know my linemen. I made you out there. You can, hey, remember that for basketball season. You can get me.
But
you can get me.
But seriously, is this something we've talked so much about, the offensive line and whether or not, you know, they're going to be in panic mode? I mean, how many starters should play this game on Saturday?
If Jermaine Ifedi is getting snaps at left tackle, they've clearly looked at the market and go, oh boy. And so they're like, Zach had brought up that they might be willing to trade DTR. There's been discussion about trading DTR for an offensive lineman, something that we're going to get into earnest about coming up around 7:25, 7:30 this morning. But they've been willing to kind of make a look around. Ifedi hurt his hand, but if he's taking snaps over at left tackle, he should be, you know, all right. I know didn't he play guard over in college? He's been a guy who's been kind of able to move around. That does not mean just move Joel Bitonio over to left tackle and put Jermaine Ifedi in at guard or anything like that. That's not what I'm trying to signify. There was a conversation I was asked a couple of days ago on Monday. Well, what if we move Joel here? What if we move Joel there? And I keep saying, no, 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 no. And I understand that Joel did a good job. The coaching staff at that time said that Joel did a good job. He's clearly uncomfortable. If they didn't try to move him there last year when they went and they got Jaron Christian, then they're not going to go and move him there this year. That's all said and done. Because I think some fans were going, well, if you move Joel over at left tackle, you can put Zach Zinter in. Zach Zinter's a rookie, and then we can see how this... That's not how any of that's going to work, and it's not how it's going to work this time. They're going to work with... They're going to have Joel Bitonio there next to him. They'll have Posick and Teller and DeJuan Jones down the line, and hopefully they'll make an offensive line out of this until Jed Wills comes back, and who the hell knows when that's going to happen.
Do you think there's a chance this is all, you're grasping, everybody is, at preseason and training camp storylines, that once the season gets underway...
You just have to go win.
That offensive line, like we were wondering if they're teetering on an offensive line that for the first time in a long time in Cleveland is not a top five offensive line. But isn't there a chance that guys get healthy, and you still have Bitonio, you still have Teller. I know they're on the other side of 30, but this offensive line is still really good, especially with the way that it's coached up.
Four-fifths of the offensive line has been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to have that fifth right there to be fantastic for you. And then we are worried about depth. And that's maybe the difference, and man, I hope this doesn't end up being true, but that's maybe the difference in Bill Callahan and Andy Dickerson. Bill Callahan had a developing depth during a preseason, during a season that I haven't been able to see before.
Well, no teams are able to do that and pull that off.
Yes.
When teams start having the guys go down that we had go down, it's just like, well, we'll be lucky to keep it afloat.
But you knew you were going to have to move on at some point because Bill Callahan's a man in his 60s. So we'll see how this one works, and hopefully Andy Dickerson learns from his experience. And things are going to be okay. But yeah, you got to monitor it, and you're going to be worried about it. You can't help it.
All right, that's it for About Last Night.
Outstanding as always, Tone. Yesterday, Kevin Stefanski did talk to Afternoon Drive. He had mentioned in his pre-practice press conference that he might be leaving himself an out when it comes to Deshaun Watson playing. And he explained to the boys in the afternoon about the decision and why the decision hasn't been made necessarily to start the Browns franchise quarterback. Hit it.
You know, you can have a plan, but you always want to be ready to pivot if things are going on where you feel like you may want to make a different decision for a guy. With our offensive staff, with Deshaun, we'll make that decision later in the week. Let's just get through practice, and then we'll go from there.
So last week it was he's going to play against Seattle. And then Deshaun, well, that's news to me. And then it was, hey, I'm going to play against Seattle. He had mentioned that to Aditi Kinkabwala on the sidelines in the game against the Minnesota Vikings. Now, as Lima says, the benefit of new information, it's a decision that we wait to see on. And we're going to have to find out about it. There's a reason behind it. And they asked him about moving guys around the offensive line because that is our focus right now.
different guys would probably have different answers for you. I mean, think of Joel. Joel's played left tackle for us in games going back to a couple years. Jed was a right tackle in college, went over to the left side. So I think it depends on the guy. Some guys find it really easy to shift in from tackle to guard. Some guys think it's a completely new world, even though it's about 38 inches.
Talked about it differently. Obviously, with Joel, it's been a discussion for the last 6 years. With Jed Wills, it's been a bit of a discussion. I said I might, if it were OTAs and he were healthy at the time and T-shirt and shorts, maybe see if he can get his steps back on the right side. And if you wanted to kick that around, you can kick that around with him and DeJuan Jones if you really wanted to do it. But that was the time to do it way back when in the spring, not necessarily now. Here is Kevin Stefanski on that left tackle situation.
For us, we'll look at every option we have when it comes to the tackle situation, but I like where we are. I like the guys that we have. I like how we're working hard to get guys back.
So basically it turns into, Tone, how Jermaine Ifedi looks in practice. And I understand that, you know, this is a week that they're trying to get ready for a game. They're treating it as a regular season week. So there's not going to be a lot of turning up welcome to the jungle and running into each other. But they got to figure out what they want to do with Jermaine Ifedi, and that's going to have a bearing on whether or not they're going to play Deshaun Watson on Saturday. They are not going to sit there with four-fifths of an offensive line and go ahead and put their quarterback out there against the Seattle Seahawks in a preseason game.
Well, I'm not monitoring every other NFL team, but does every other NFL team that's played their starters so far this year, have they had all five of their expected starting offensive linemen?
I have zero clue.
But doesn't it sound like that's hard to believe? I mean, so many guys either coming off surgery, especially on the offensive line. Some guys, the veterans, are kind of slow playing it up until the season gets underway. Like, is it that crazy to have to believe that you could throw your quarterback out there with four of the five? I mean, I feel like to have four of the five is lucky. That I don't know. Are we handling this a little bit too delicately where we still have some really good offensive linemen up there?
You want him out there because he hasn't played in a year. You also don't want him out there with one offensive line, big offensive lineman missing because he hasn't played in a year. Like, it's the same answer for different reasons. He hasn't played in a year. Yeah, you need him out there. Like, we were texting guys who are former NFLers. We had Brian Hoyer on the show yesterday. He said, yeah, you know, you'd want to play. We were texting John Greco, who will join the show on Friday. He said, yeah, he definitely wants to go out there and play. Football players want to play.
They do.
And they did give the answer. They looked in and they said, if he had played all throughout the year last year and finished out the season, then maybe you'd give a different answer. You'd say, we're good to go. But because of the way the season ended, you want to make sure that he is ready to go for contact. And you get the mental aspect out of the way of it. You get the possibility of, okay, I can take hits. We're adults here. This is okay. And now I can move about my business. And there's only one way that you can replicate that, and that is in a preseason game. So I, at the beginning of this week, I was very concerned about playing him. Very concerned. The former players who have been on the show, Tyvis Powell earlier this week on Afternoon Drive, the former players on the station have made me think he should probably play. But now Kevin's kind of leaving it out for him to not play.
Well, definitely sounded yesterday that he was having big-time second thoughts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I wonder confidence-wise, because obviously he's weighing the risk and reward. In the end, it is just a preseason game. But he also has not seen his quarterback. Like, I think Stefanski, he can say, well, I've seen him in drills. Looks fine. I saw him in all the joint practice stuff. But, you know, he wasn't live. So I imagine part of it is Kevin Stefanski is wondering what that'll look like against Micah Parsons and friends in week one against Dallas. So obviously the plan this week was to get him out there. But to be shaken by just not having one of your five guys, it's going to make some fans like me probably a little concerned. Like, what are we so worried about?
I want to know.
What is it that we don't want the guy out there who we haven't seen since November?
I think a lot of people just want to see him so they have something that they can discuss, because I think this naturally leads to, and this is the annoying part of it, I think a lot of Browns fans are going to agree with me on this, it just leads to negativity. That's all it does. There's so many people. You had that Austin Mock article that came out from The Athletic a couple of days ago where he ran the numbers and they do their whole permutations. and he's got the Browns at 8.7 wins this year, which that is not a playoff team. Will Brinson, which we had Will Brinson on, and he kind of tried to talk in circles to get himself out of it with us. He does not have the Browns going to the playoffs. He hasn't fallen out of the playoffs. There's a lot of people who are down. Why are they down on it? Well, they're down on it because of the quarterback. Because you mentioned Myles Garrett, who according to Za'Darius Smith keeps getting better. You mentioned Denzel Ward. These players that are fantastic. Eventually you'll get Nick Chubb back. Amari Cooper's probably the most underrated great wide receiver in this league. It's a team with talent, and nobody's really picking them to go to the playoffs again because of your quarterback. So fans want to see the quarterback play just to make themselves feel better. So we have something to go that's more positive instead of, well, I haven't seen the quarterback, so I don't know. Because that's what everybody's saying. I haven't seen Deshaun Watson. The last time we saw Deshaun Watson, he was great. Except for the first half, it was as bad as we've ever seen. You had the perfect mix of the worst and the best in one game, and then he was gone. So there's nothing there that people can glean from it, so they're going to want to see him play. I want him to play for the right reasons, though. Does it help him to play in your eyes?
I think it does. I think it does, and I think all the players are telling you that as well.
So you want to play him?
I would play him.
So what's the point of not playing him then?
I don't know. Obviously they're worried about something offensively that they think this is too much of a risk to put him out there when I've seen all these other quarterbacks out there in the preseason.
Because I want to go with what the players say and go, you guys are the experts. I'm not the expert. I didn't play at a high level. You guys would know. Kevin Stefanski's a head coach at a very high level, the highest level in football. It seems like he might be having some second thoughts, or the organization as well might be having some second thoughts on playing him. It's not the easiest thing for a preseason game that we all call meaningless. Everybody's waiting to see whether or not your starting quarterback is going to play in this game and take any time and any snaps whatsoever.
Do they feel like they don't have a mastery of the offense whatsoever yet? And if that's the case, are they going to get that down by week one?
Well, it's interesting you say that because he did talk about that with Afternoon Drive. We'll hit that audio coming up next. 216-474-0092.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.